This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We take you to the outer reaches of the galaxy, where sports talk doesn't quite sound like anything on this planet.
Yeah!
Into outer space, where voices echo without making any sense.
Have we been doing what?
It's mornings on the mothership.
What?
Which means it's the middle of the night somewhere.
I was just wondering, how are the Lakers doing?
Well, the season's over.
Well, that's what can happen with two root beers and seven Oreo cookies.
You better take your raincoat.
Welcome aboard the mothership.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios. They found a better way to mortgage so that you can focus on making your new house your home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Thanks so much for being with us, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. Adnan Virk is going to join us next hour from MLB Network and DAZN to talk about the Astros and the latest, because every day there's another drama coming from the Astros. He'll join us next hour here on the show. This hour, we'll be stunned to a news.
So many different emotions on so many different levels.
And discuss Michigan State's new head coach, Mel Tucker, as they were searching in the wake of the quote-unquote retirement from Mark D'Antonio. And finally ended up getting Mel Tucker the second time around, which is slightly humiliating. Mel Tucker said no like a week ago, and then you had to come back and beg him to do it again. Like, the Michigan State job should be good enough to where you shouldn't have a whole bunch of people saying no, and then you have to go back and sweeten the pot.
No, really, reconsider, please, reconsider.
But we have to start with the Astros. Because ex-Astro Marwin Gonzalez, who was a member of the 2017 team that won the World Series, is now with the Minnesota Twins. And yesterday at the Twins spring training complex in Fort Myers, Florida, apologized for the Astros scandal.
I'm remorseful for everything that happened in 2017, everything that we did as a group. And then... and like the players that were affected directly by us, by doing this and some other things, and then that's what I feel the more regret, and that's what I'm remorseful.
So let's talk about this. Number one, it is so distasteful. It is so tone deaf. It is so obnoxious for the Astros at FanFest to be defiant and coy and patronizing in the face of these facts about the scandal. Not accusations, facts. When Bregman and Altuve basically won't answer anything, but essentially flip off the investigation and say, we'll be back. We'll be back in the World Series. We'll be back. I guarantee it. And won't address anything and certainly won't apologize for anything. It's such a bad look. Because what you have here is two camps. All of the guys that used to play for the Astros saying, I'm really sorry. It was really bad. We got caught up in something really problematic. We were definitely cheating, and it definitely gave us an advantage. And then everybody on the current Astros saying, what? Who says we cheated? It is so tone deaf if you're the Astros currently to wag your finger in the face of these facts and say, ooh, what do you mean we cheated? Didn't give us any advantage. right back in the World Series anyway. And the Astros go from a really lovable, cool sports story to completely hateable. Again, you have all of these players that used to play for the Astros admitting, you know what, we were wrong. This was bad. I'm sorry. And all of the current Astros going, well, what do you mean? There's no advantage there. We didn't do anything. We're awesome. Marwin Gonzalez is just one of multiple former Astros that had to do one thing and one thing that's very difficult. Face guys that they shafted that are now their teammates. You know, in your line of business, let's just say you cheated to beat a competitor. You used illegal practices to beat a competitor. And at that time, you were like, hey, winning, making more money, business is more successful, I'm more successful in my career. It's all about winning. Feels good to win. Who cares if this is an illegal practice? Who cares if we shouldn't be doing this morally or ethically? Who cares? We're winning. And then you got fired or you left for another job and all of that cheating or all of that scandal or all of that illegality came public. And then you had to deal with your new supervisors, bosses, co-workers, co-employees, and you had to basically admit to them, yeah, you know what? I screwed you guys over. I was part of screwing you over. That Christmas bonus should have been yours. That promotion should have been yours. And so this is what former Astros are dealing with. In their new clubhouses, they're getting stink eye. Because their new teammates are like, yeah, you know what? You screwed everybody. And so these guys are being forced to face up, to man up. They also have the scarlet letter on them within that organization to not be the distraction, to not be the story. So Marwin Gonzalez yesterday has to be apart from his teammates and basically hold a press conference upon reporting to get this out there and out of the way so that it does not dog him the rest of the time. This is going to be how the former Astros all have to deal with it because they have to deal with their new teammates who they shafted. Because in this great big world of competitive athletics, one thing does have to go unspoken, that you care about the integrity of the game or else you are screwing everybody trying to make that same buck. Number two, for the Astros players currently to have been like, ah, ha, 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 no, no, no. It gave us no advantage. We'll be right back in the World Series. And the investigation is what the investigation is. And basically with a wry eye, laugh in the face of this, tells you they still don't get it. Oh, I'm just a ticklish boy. I could not take off my jersey.
I'm too shy.
I was just too shy.
I'm too shy.
It tells you that they still don't get it. And why would they? Why would they? Because this thing ran so deep. Apparently, the Astros are getting together with their owner today to get on the same page. If I was Jim Crane, here's what I would say. Your GM took the hit. Your manager took the hit. The organization's a disgrace right now. You know what? Every one of you guys needs to apologize, show contrition, and at least act like you understand the severity of this. Even if you don't, act like it. Don't act like a bunch of SOBs. Don't act like a bunch of entitled a-holes. Don't basically laugh in the face of this. I don't know if Jim Crane is truly contrite. I don't know. That's a billionaire owner that still gets his World Series flag. So I don't know. But if I was Jim Crane and I was the Astros and I was Dusty Baker, I would tell everybody, hey, we need our talking points here. Act like we're sorry. Because what we're doing now is acting like a bunch of entitled kids that can't be told they were wrong. And in the wake of this, that's the worst, because all we keep doing is pulling the yarn string by string a little bit longer, a little bit more, a little bit longer, and it keeps looking worse and worse. And it's not going to look any better. You know, maybe we never get to whether they were wearing a buzzer or not. But maybe we do. Maybe we get to a point where more comes out, because let's face it, I think the Astros did not realize all of this was going to continue unfolding. And now every last media member, every last baseball writer worth their salt is digging into trying to find more out about the depths of this thing. So if I'm the Astros today, and I'm Jim Crane, and I'm Dusty Baker, I'm telling my guys, hey, everybody, look what Marwin Gonzalez just said. Look what our former players have said. Look what Carlos Beltran said. Look at the fallout. Stop puffing out your chest and saying that we don't care. Investigation's over. We'll be back in the World Series. Show a little humility here. It'll go a long way. But as I mentioned before, with the depths of how this went throughout the organization, it doesn't surprise me that the players would be defiant and that the players might not even still think they did anything wrong. I mean, that Wall Street Journal report was damning. It uncovered that, number one, the general manager had emails sent to him titled The Dark Arts that explained how the sign stealing was going on. That's the GM. Had emails that said dark arts. And that a member of the front office developed a program called Code Breaker to decode signs. It was used within the organization, and the guy that came up with Code Breaker got promoted. Hello. This was a systemic cheating thing. And this idea that, oh, it's just the players. Oh, the players. It was all player run. I mean, there was a system in place within the front office through their computer system called Code Breaker. Oh, it was just all player run. No, it wasn't. It was organizationally run. It was an organizational cheating scandal. Not, oh, you know, it was Carlos Beltran and he was just getting everybody on the same page and, you know, Alex Cora was there. No, this was top-down, insular, organizational cheating. And I feel bad for Astros fans because that's supposed to be a high. That's supposed to be your first World Series championship ever. That's supposed to be all good memories that you can live on, that you can feel good about. You can watch that DVD or you can watch those clips online. Nobody's watching DVDs anymore. You can see that pennant. You can wear that T-shirt. You can always refer back to those feelings that you had as it unfolded. And now Astros fans are embattled. They've got to feel really weird about it. It's like Mraz feeling weird about getting an 11-10 of the SAT. He didn't really get that. He got really an 880. I just screwed it over because I scored it wrong. But if I'm Crane and I'm the Astros today, I try to hammer home, guys, a little humility and a little apology will go a long way. Stop acting like we did nothing wrong here. Every day there's more evidence that we did a lot wrong. Our manager just admitted, I wish I wasn't part of this. I'll regret this for the rest of my life. Yes, this title might be tainted. Their manager just said, yes, the title might be tainted. Players, stop acting like we did nothing wrong. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. hit me up. Your thoughts on the Astros and how they should approach spring training. They're going to talk to their owner today. What should be their message? How should they handle this? 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home, hard work, get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. Matthew's in South Carolina, listening on 100.3 there. Good morning, Matt.
I mean, how are you doing today, DA?
I'm good. How are you doing?
What really upsets me about this situation is that they can make claims that they're going to be back in the World Series. How do they know that they're going to be back in the World Series if they don't know the pitches? If they've got no way to get their advantage back because everyone's going to be looking at them with a microscope, how can they make those claims? Look at the statistics from the 2016 to the 2017. They were horrible in 2016. One of the worst teams, statistically.
I agree.
How are they going to do it?
I agree that the Astros, everything about their success is compromised. Everything. You can't have one of the biggest cheating scandals in sports history and not have a side eye turned on everything that you've done. Now, I will say, do I think Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman and Carlos Correa and George Springer and their really good players should still be able to be decent baseball players? Yes, because let's remember, most of this, if not all of this, is happening only at home. So it wasn't like the Astros were just a dog food team on the road, but their splits are staggering, no doubt, especially in the playoffs and that World Series in 2017. The splits were staggering home and road. I would question everything about their success, but I don't think they're going to suddenly turn into the Miami Marlins overnight. They still have really good players. They still have perennial all-stars, and they still have guys that were good but got taken to the next level because of the cheating scandal. But I don't think they end up becoming a last-place team. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, more of your thoughts on how the Astros should address this coming forward. Also, we are stunned to a news. It's Morning Mothership on CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
So what is it?
880.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Absolutely. I knew something was flawed. 1100, get out of here. I mean, we've heard this guy speak.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The producer's fangs are out around here after Mraz supposedly scored an 11-10 on his SAT and then torched everybody on his way out the door on Friday because he knew he was going to be off all of this week on paternity leave and just called everybody out, all of the producers behind the scenes, and they are not happy. 23 minutes past the hour this week at on CBS, the PGA Tour features a field including Tiger Woods, the top five golfers in the world, competing at the Genesis Invitational Saturday and Sunday, 3 o'clock Eastern, noon Pacific, only on CBS. Full episodes of the show available in podcast form. Simply go to cbssportsradio.com if you'd like DA On Demand. Also, you can listen to us from Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Radio.com, or other places that podcasts are listened to and downloaded. Full episodes available there. Mark is in Shreveport listening to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, DA. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
My question is this. I'm a Texas Ranger fan, and I knew that Nolan Ryan left there and went to the Astros as some kind of special consultant or something like that. But I hadn't heard his name involved in any of this, and I was just wondering where was he at during all this time that this was going on, and why hasn't anyone spoke about, you know, him saying anything or anything going on with him? Have you heard anything?
I haven't. That's a great question, Mark. I mean, Nolan Ryan, known as an old school gunslinger, competitive SOB, a guy that obviously would not want to put up with any shenanigans or hijinks, and he was a special assistant for Jim Crane, that front office, for the years that they were cheating. From 14 to last year, Nolan Ryan was on that payroll. You're right. Now, I don't know if Nolan Ryan knew. Who knows if he was privy to it, but it's such an organizational failure that if Nolan Ryan didn't know, he's at the very least tainted in this way because everybody that was part of that organization gets tainted in some way because it doesn't feel like it was just player run. We have evidence that it was far deeper than that. It was people within the front office talking to one another about it, including the general manager receiving emails about it. And there are people around baseball that believe that Jeff Luhnow, who built this team and was the GM, will never work in the sport ever again. That tells you the culpability that people around baseball believe the front office had, not just the clubhouse. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. But I would love to see Nolan Ryan's quote on something like this. I'd love to see his comments. We have headlines, and we are stunned to a news. In here for them is Brad Heller. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, D.A. We will start in the NBA. Zion Williamson with his best game as a pro.
84-78. Now Zion fakes a reason out, flushes it in with two.
How you like me now? How you like me?
All night long, baby.
Todd Graffinini and John DeShazier with the call, Pelicans Radio. Zion, 31 points in 28 minutes. The Pelicans blew out the Trailblazers 138-117. Joel Embiid was booed during introductions last night in Philly because he had shushed Sixers fans on Sunday.
Shush.
He shushed them.
Shush.
He shushed them. Well, you know what? He shushed them right back by scoring 26 points, 110-103. The Sixers beat the Clippers. Here's head coach Brett Brown.
With the noise surrounding Joe over the past 24 hours, him coming out and playing like he did, it didn't surprise me, and I'd be surprised if it surprised you.
The Sixers are 25-2 at home. Ben Simmons also had 26 points in a triple-double. James Harden scored 42. The Rockets snapped the Celtics' seven-game winning streak. The final there, 116-105. College basketball, it's not even Valentine's Day yet, and San Diego State's already locked up the Mountain West regular season title. The Aztecs beat New Mexico 82-59. They're 25-0, the only unbeaten team left in Division One. Dayton keeps on rolling, 13 straight wins. The Flyers over Rhode Island, 81-67. The Rams had won 10 straight. Maryland edged Nebraska 72-70. Michigan State snapped a three-game slide as they beat Illinois 70-69. The Illini not only lost the game, but they lost leading scorer Ayo Dosunmu on the final play of the game, went down with what looked like a serious knee injury. From college football, Michigan State's reportedly going to hire Colorado's Mel Tucker as head coach. This after Tucker had announced on Twitter over the weekend that he was staying with the Buffaloes. Two Ohio State football players have been charged with rape and kidnapping stemming from an incident last week. Corner Amir Reap and safety Jawson Wint have both been suspended from all team activities. Baseball, the Red Sox made it official yesterday. Bench coach Ron Renicki is the new interim manager.
I understand the challenges that we're going to have, as you always do as a manager through seasons. But the challenge of trying to win ball games and our focus is on a really good bunch of guys and a great team.
Now, the Red Sox say Renicki is going to have that interim tag out of respect for the ongoing sign stealing investigation.
I mean, when is Rob Manfred going to finish up this investigation?
Seriously, I mean, so opening day is soon. I mean, San Diego State's already clinched the Mountain West regular season title. What's he waiting for?
So Rob Manfred is going to drop some type of report and or punishment on the Red Sox in the middle of the season. It's either going to be in the middle of spring training or the middle of the actual regular season.
I mean, there'll be Grapefruit League games going on. It'll be like, you know, the seventh inning stretch in a Grapefruit League game.
Yeah.
In Fort Myers or something.
And what happens if we find out that one of the current Red Sox was part of the cheating and he's playing, he's active for the Red Sox? I mean, this is really bizarre timing, which tells me one thing. Manfred wanted to wrap this all up before spring training. That's why he dropped the Astros thing so long ago. And the more that came out, the more they had to investigate. And they can't scoot over something if they think it's going to come out later. And so, once again, you're pulling the yarn, and they keep finding more and more and more yarn. And I think the delay in announcing this is bad news for the Red Sox.
Which makes you wonder, the Mets debated for a while, should we keep Carlos Beltran, should we not? And I think you might have been in the camp at one point, said, hey, you know what? He wasn't going to be suspended.
Keep him. Yes.
But now we're learning they obviously got rid of him, and now The Athletic has a report came out yesterday that, Yeah, Beltran was the godfather of the sign-stealing
Absolutely.
Scheme.
So. Yes, I think internally within league circles, they know that this is getting worse and worse and worse, and so everybody's trying to run from all of the guilty parties.
All right, on to the NHL. DA, Blues defenseman Jay Bouwmeester, this was scary last night in Anaheim. He suffered a cardiac episode on the bench and was taken care of immediately. Medical personnel were rushed down. Teammates were certainly very, very concerned. Now, the good news is for Bouwmeester, the team says he was alert and moving all of his extremities as he was transported to the hospital. The game between the Blues and the Ducks was suspended in the first period. They are going to make it up at a later date. And as for the scoreboard, the Lightning, they keep their winning streak alive. 8 in a row now as they top the Penguins in overtime, 2-1. And now,
it doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
My first one.
This is Heller's first ever stunned to a news. Does it have anything to do with desserts?
No, not this one, okay. But I'm committed to finding something dessert-related while Bogush is away.
Nice.
So we'll see what we can work on. But this, actually, not desserts. It has to do with river otters.
Oh.
Lakeland, Florida.
Of course. Again, I think we can just make this stunned to a Florida news every single day.
They're loaded with content.
No doubt.
They are a content factory. Well, 17-year-old Gwen Eward, you know what, maybe teenagers, I know maybe us as teenagers wanted nothing to do with our parents. Gwen Eward should be nice to her mom from now on.
Gwen Eward.
Gwen Eward in Lakeland, Florida.
Okay.
She let out the family's French bulldog Scooter out on the back porch, but it was attacked by a river otter.
Oh,
it was
my.
An otter ambush.
Oh my!
Yeah, an otter ambush.
A bulldog?
A French bulldog was attacked by a river
otter.
Wow,
usually a French bulldog is able to kind of hold its own. A river otter just went after it.
Yeah, I think it was maybe just a sneak attack. I don't know if this French bulldog... Scooter didn't know what was coming.
Yeah.
So Mom Cassina comes to the rescue. Here's what she told WIS-TV. Quote, I snatched it by the tail and then I held it up like a prize.
Oh, my!
She wasn't messing around. The otter's going crazy. It was clawing at me and grabbing onto the backs of the furniture in my house. So Cassina tossed the otter out into the yard.
Wait, so the otter got inside?
The otter got inside.
I thought the dog went outside.
And then as the daughter, Gwen, tried to get the dog back inside, the otter got inside the house,
and
it seems like.
The otter is then hanging, clawing to the back of the furniture?
Until Mom grabs it by the tail and starts swinging it over her head.
Oh, my!
Yeah. So she saved the day. I mean, Scooter and Gwen, the daughter, both had bite marks. They were taken to the hospital. They got rabies shots. And here's another quote from Cassina. It's really not heroic. There actually hasn't... There was no thought process. Just run in and jump on the otter. I think life is full of surprises, and you should just be ready for whatever.
Okay.
In this case, whatever is an otter attack in Florida.
Coolest freaking mom ever.
I mean, invite her to all the parties now.
Let me ask you. If you saw a river otter clawing at your dog or your furniture, would your first instinct be, let me jump on top of the river otter?
I am getting out of there.
I'm running.
Every man, every dog for themselves.
No, there's no chance I'm fighting a river otter in my living room. Pete the Body?
Only if I had like a sledgehammer, but no.
With a weapon, you would fight the river otter.
With a weapon. A very good weapon. It can't be flimsy.
Okay, Sammy Rubes?
I mean, we call this Tuesday in Florida, but I would probably get on high ground somewhere because the otter couldn't get me and just start taking a video.
As the resident Florida native, what do you do? What is the protocol when you see your home pet, your house pet, getting attacked by a river otter?
I would say try to help it, but I wouldn't want this bite mark I'm looking at on this girl's leg.
Yeah.
I wouldn't handle that very well.
So you get to high ground.
High ground and videotape it and hope the dog can handle it.
Okay. So you're looking just to make sure you have your phone on you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Get to high ground, shoot down so that at least your video goes viral.
Oh, yeah. Of course. That's a huge opportunity here. You have to take advantage.
While the dog's getting attacked.
They happen a lot in Florida, but like, how often does it actually happen to you in Florida? You got to take the advantage when you get it.
Do these things happen a lot? River otter attacks?
River otter attacks, I have not heard of. I mean, my dog's had a possum in its mouth before.
Okay.
A squirrel in its mouth.
Sure.
Definitely eaten a couple lizards.
Okay.
So the conflicts between animals and house pets is definitely common in Florida. River otter, this one is a first, though, for me.
So it's like evolution. Like, these dogs have to be, like, just stronger than others.
Survival of the most Floridian. Also, can you believe this mom grabbed the river otter by the tail and started swinging it around and held it up like a prize? That is incredible. Like, okay, if she took a broom and smacked it and got it out of there, that's kind of what I would do. Okay, I would maybe take a baseball bench, but I would not pick it up by the tail and hold it like a prize.
And taunt it. Maybe it's like that, you know, you hear those stories of the adrenaline rush, like, you know, lift up a car and someone's stuck on you. Adrenaline takes over.
But could you imagine that otter clawing at you as you try to hold it? Swinging around. Is that the...
I mean, if Scooter couldn't get out of the grasp, why a French bulldog was no match for an otter, a human being. Mom's like, whatever, let's go.
I mean, just be happy it wasn't a gator.
I'm not interested in any fight with any Florida wildlife. Python, iguana, crocodile, alligator, river otter. I'm out on all of it.
Family trips to Disney World are canceled from here on out.
And isn't there spring training in Lakeland?
I believe that's where the Twins are. They're in Fort Myers.
They're in Fort Myers.
Tigers, maybe.
Tigers are in Lakeland.
Isn't that fitting?
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
When we come back here on the show, your best audio of the day, we'll talk about Philip Rivers moving on. The new Michigan State head coach Mel Tucker getting wooed the second time around. And the Red Sox and how they're going to handle waiting for this report. That's all coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
If one neighbor's not burning the day you need to cook your crow, just ask your next neighbor when they're going to be burning and clearing. If one neighbor's not burning, then the next day the your other neighbor's liable to be burning.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
That's Torg Bellinger from a couple of years ago talking about his own version of March Madness, which happens when you eat uncooked vermin meat, including birds like crows.
Here we call it March Madness.
And we're now just 2 weeks away from March, the month of March, and then, of course, college basketball being front and center. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We thank you.
Uh-huh.
For being with us. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. You know, last night we celebrated my brother's birthday. We all went out for hibachi. You know, I've not been to hibachi in a long time. I always forget how much fun I have at hibachi. I mean, I know that everybody kind of has the same act. I know that the bit is pretty standard. You know, you flip the shrimp into the hat. You stack up the onion rings like a volcano. You put the fire in there. I get it. But every time I love it, I don't know. I never get tired of it, and I had not been to hibachi in a long time, and I feel like I could go back to hibachi tomorrow, and I would absolutely love hibachi the same way that I loved it last night. Pete the Body, when's the last time you had hibachi?
Oh, it's been, I would say, within like 8-9 months.
Oh, so within the year.
Within the year. I could have it every day if I was able to, but you can't, obviously.
What is it about hibachi that makes it such an enjoyable experience? Is it the food or is it the act?
I think it's the food.
Okay.
Because I think it's really good.
Yeah.
I just think the food is just, it incorporates a lot of flavors, a lot of taste, and plus the way it's set up. I mean, you're not talking to the neighbors, you're talking to your people that you're with, but
yeah.
I mean, I think it's more of a friendlier atmosphere than
you would.
And it's
flame grilled right there.
Right. And this, the act is okay, but it gets a little, you know, it's the same thing, same hat. But, you know,
same hat.
But it, For me, it's the food. I think the food is just second to none.
I realized I would like to write the act for these guys because I can never do the hibachi, but I would like to write some of their jokes. Like this guy flipped a full egg, an unbroken egg, into his hat and then went in and pulled out a toy chicken. Okay? And I'm like, that's a great bit. I want to write some of these bits for these guys.
And they should be pulling out, like, other things out of the hat. Toy chicken.
Yeah. Know, yeah.
Anything.
Yeah. And then he's doing the thing where the shrimp tail goes back and forth. I love that one, too. And he's kind of singing some contemporary songs as he's doing this. It all works. I don't know. Our guy Suzuki was great. Just great. And then at the end, he said, thank you. And my mom said, well, what's your name? We had such a great time. He said, my name is Suzuki. My brother is Honda. My sister's Toyota. That's a great bit. It's a great bit. I want to write the jokes for the hibachi guys.
That's someone that actually stepped up, I think. That's even better hibachi chef. I haven't heard jokes like that. I just see the act, throw everything in the hat, throw it in the pocket, do the volcano. But I haven't seen like a stand-up comedy, like it's SNL.
It really does also remind you that they all have to have like the act training. Everybody has kind of the same act. So when you go to hibachi school, do you learn how to make the tail wag on the shrimp? Do you flip eggs in your hat consistently until you finally get one?
There's probably a generic base of routine that you learn.
Yeah.
And then other stuff you can do on your own, but you have to probably clear it.
Sammy Rubes, are you a hibachi fan?
Yeah, I'd say it's been within the last year as well that I've been.
Wow, okay. Oh, yeah. So we're 3 for 3 on hibachi the last year.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I have an important question for you. Do you eat the rice first, or you let it sit there in the middle and then wait till you get everything to then enjoy it all together?
Wonderful question. I ate it first last night because I was so hungry. But the right strategic move is to wait until you get the meat.
I'm glad you understand the right move.
I
get it. Sometimes you're too hungry.
Too hungry.
It's just sitting there. It smells so good. You have to just little nibble every now and then. But sometimes a little nibble turns into, oh, where's my rice?
I know. I crushed it all. But it is true. That's the proper way to eat hibachi. Wait until it's all on your plate and then go in. But I just couldn't wait last night. It just smelled so amazing.
And use all your sauces.
All of them.
That's very key.
Yeah. And if he's going to offer you or she's going to offer you more sauces, do that as well.
Yes.
Hibachi. How can you beat it? It's time for your best audio of the day. Sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
This week, Chargers reporter Gilbert Manzano joined Amy on After Hours. He works for the Orange County Register. Why did the Chargers allow Phillip Rivers to hit free agency?
Tom Telesquez said he wanted the general manager for the Chargers. He wanted to assess the play of Rivers. And maybe you sat down and watched the film and, hey, maybe it's not fixable. And you got to move forward. And also, too, I think they're not listening to Anthony Lynn more because Lynn was a guy who really wanted to get drafted Sean Watson and Patrick Mahomes, and you're the front office. You're like, well, we got Rivers for a few more years. Let's not, you know, go that route. And now it's kind of like, well, Patrick Mahomes is really good. Deshaun Watson is really good. So now they want to go to this new era. So, yeah, it did happen pretty fast, but after a while, it's like we can't keep wasting years. And so the Chargers were in Los Angeles. We're trying to make a splash.
So this is interesting if you look at it through this lens that the Chargers felt like we couldn't keep going down this road with Phillip Rivers. I tend to agree. Rivers threw 20 interceptions last year and continuously turned the football over in big spots on big throws, on big drives. And I think with the Chargers, he had hit his limit. He had hit his ceiling. He was not getting better. He was getting worse. His draft class coming to the end. Eli Manning in his draft class just retired. Big Ben lost the entire season due to injury. And Phillip Rivers, late 30s. I'm not sure how much more good football, winning football he has left in him. So if you're the Chargers and you quote-unquote want to make a splash, another year of Phillip Rivers throwing 20-plus interceptions, I get it. But you don't have a better solution. And so if they want to make a splash, they've got to feel really confident they've got one of two guys coming in because they don't have the next guy on their roster, that it's either Tom Brady or Cam Newton. I mean, that's got to be. If they want to make a splash, making a splash doesn't mean drafting the fourth best quarterback in this draft. A big splash means you've got to have a big name at quarterback, and there's only a few that are going to be available this offseason that are bigger than Phillip Rivers. So that would be Cam or Tom Brady. I think there's a real scenario where Tom Brady ends up with the Chargers. I think Brady ending his career kind of like LeBron in Los Angeles, connected to Hollywood or production or power people in the media, close to Hollywood, actors in Hollywood, how things get developed in Hollywood, Southern California, kind of a hotbed for health and wellness where his TB12 method could probably find some traction. That feels like a really reasonable connection to make.
But if you don't get Tom Brady and you haven't drafted your next guy yet, are you going to start a rookie quarterback? Is it going to be Tyrod Taylor? I mean, those are all the, yeah, but Phillip Rivers leaves, okay, but what's your next solution? Here's Mel Tucker, who joined us here on the show in football season, and I asked him when he was the head coach at Colorado what he wanted his identity to be, because Mel Tucker just took the Michigan State job.
The word relentless. Relentless has two components. It's high velocity, it's nonstop. First, we want to be a smart football team. Okay, we want to be physical. We want to play fast. You know, we never stop. Okay, so when you look on the field, you see our team play. You want to see those guys are well coached. They never stop. They're relentless. They're physical. That's a team that knows how to play the game of football. That's what our identity is going to be.
So I understand why Michigan State would have been enamored with Mel Tucker to a certain degree. Mel began his career at Michigan State as a grad assistant under Nick Saban. Look, that just fits a really nice narrative for Michigan State. Oh, we got a guy that began his career under Nick Saban when Saban was here. Great. Also, he was a head coach at a power conference last year, so you bring him in and you feel like he's got some experience. More importantly, he was a really good recruiter and a high-level assistant coach in the SEC at Georgia. He knows how to get kids. That's important, too. But, you know, he's only got 1 year of head coaching experience, and it was a sub-500 year, which feels a little bit like what had happened to Florida State, where they bring in a guy who'd only had 1 year of coaching at Oregon and Willie Taggart, and that ends up being a disaster. I get what makes Mel Tucker interesting. I'm not sure if Mel Tucker was the number one guy, except that I think that they were in really bad timing when D'Antonio decided to leave, and so many of the other hires had already been done. And here's Red Sox chief baseball officer Chaim Bloom on WFAN last night.
Just out of respect for the investigation, you know, it obviously is ongoing. You know, we thought this interim tag was most appropriate. You know, he is the right guy to lead our group at this time, and we wanted to put him in position to do that with camp opening. And again, that's out of respect for the investigation. So when the investigation concludes, we'll address permanency at that time.
Uh-huh. Right. Got it. Well, you know, just out of respect for the investigation, basically what they're worried about here is that before the investigation comes out, before we know what the issues are with the Sox don't want to bet on anybody. They're worried about what it is going to show. And Ron Renicki, who's just the interim guy right now, has been a bench coach under Alex Cora for two seasons. So if Renicki gets nailed in this report, they don't want to have an official manager have to get fired again and then bring in another guy. So right now, he's just the interim for us. That's it. That is your sound check. So coming up next hour, we'll have Adnan Virk join us here on the show. He's a longtime baseball host, formerly ESPN, MLB Network now, and DAZN. And we'll talk to him about the next steps with the Astros as they now are all reporting, and how are they going to address this moving forward and all of the latest surrounding the Astros. I want to do more on that, because coming up here next, we have yet to address A.J. Hinch. Did he duck the buzzer question with Tom Verducci? I'll answer that next. D.A., you can make your grade for yourself. This is CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.